Good evening. How are y'all? Good Wednesday so far, right? I'll try not to ruin it, okay? But again, my wife always wants to come, but because she's on staff at our church, she's not always able to. And if you didn't hear, I made a joke like, hey, to my wife, if you don't come with me more, they're going to stop believing that I got married. So but I'm honored to be here, very, very thankful for this church, and thankful for your senior pastors. Can you give your senior pastors a hand, please? Aren't they amazing? They are wonderful. And I just want to, y'all support what we do, and I don't take that lightly. I don't take it for granted in any way, shape, or form. And I just want to say thank you for giving financially. I want to say thank you for praying. I know y'all pray for your missionaries. I want to say thank you, because without your prayers, without your encouragements, without your support financially, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And here's what my pastor always says about giving to missions, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, but I'll go ahead and say it, that because you give, you get to you get to reap a reward and not even have to go, right? No, like, that's awesome, right? That's why I love giving to missions. I'm a missionary, and me and my wife still give to other missionaries. We are not exempt just because we're missionaries, right? But we give because we believe in missions. We believe in the mission of God. We believe in the commission, right? And we believe in what he's doing here in America, but also all across the globe. Amen? So I just want to say thank you. You will get to meet teenagers and middle schoolers when you get to heaven that were impacted in a school because you simply gave. And I just want to say thank you. I don't take that lightly. I am so grateful for your church that supports us monthly, and for your pastors, and for you as the congregation that just pray for us. And every time I come here, y'all greet us and you take care of us and everything. So give yourselves a hand, please, 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 please. I just want to say that. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach a little bit. Before I do that, I want to give you an update on what we're seeing so that you know that God is up to something in the high schools and middle schools. Is that okay? Man, we're seeing some crazy, awesome things happen. This summer at youth camp, we saw over 300 students who said, I want to start a Jesus club in my high school and in my middle school. How amazing is that? And they didn't just say it with their mouth. They didn't just lift their hand up. They actually went to a training that we had at camp and filled out a board and did everything that they were supposed to do. So our prayer, and this is how you can pray with us, that we would see at least 100 of those 300 clubs launched by November 1st. And they're all across North Texas. They're down in Austin. There are some in East Texas, West Texas, Abilene, Wichita Falls, right? All the way up to Denton, down to Houston. It is going everywhere. Here's something else we got to do. After youth camp, I went to another church, one of the largest churches in America, to present Jesus clubs to them. They have 45 campuses across the U.S., right? And their goal this first year is to see one Jesus club launched at every one of their campuses. And we get an opportunity to see that happen, right? Man, can I tell you, we have seen hundreds of students filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Because they have to be empowered by the Spirit to do the mission of God, right? So it has just been incredible. It's been amazing. Just, what was it, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had an event down in Red Oak, Texas. It was called Call Rally. Okay, it's only the second year that we had it. This is for any student that feels called to go and make disciples, which is the Great Commission, right? Any student that feels called to go and make disciples, whether they feel called to ministry, whether they feel called to missions, or they just feel called to the marketplace, but they want to impact the marketplace, right? Guess what? We had 700 students show up for this event. But not only that, we activated, we trained, we equipped those 700 students at that event. And then this is what's really cool. We sent them out during the event to pray for the sick, to share the gospel, to give prophetic words and words of encouragement to people. Can I tell you, we got testimony after testimony that God spoke something to a student and then they went and shared it with somebody and it ministered to somebody right then and there. How awesome is that, right? And I'm telling you this, I believe this with all of my heart, all of my being, that the students that are in our schools, the students that are in our churches and in our youth ministries, they don't just want to come. And I think I said this the last time I was here. They don't want to just come and sit in a seat, but they are ready, they are wanting, and they are hungry to be used by God. And we have so many students. We have so many students that are saying yes to being used by God, that they don't want to just be a nominal Christian, but they want to own their faith and they want to share their faith. It's incredible. We are seeing Jesus Clubs happen. Right now we have 85 launched. Like I told you, 100 more we want to launch by November 1st. And we have Jesus Clubs in Minnesota. We have Jesus Clubs obviously here in Texas, in Tennessee, North Carolina, New Mexico. Come on, somebody, right? New Mexico needs Jesus too. But we have, man, because students are rising up, youth pastors are rising up and saying, man, we have to equip and train our students. And this is what I know, that if students will be trained and equipped to share their faith, they will live out their faith longer. And I said this last time, but I'm just saying it again, I no longer want to lose our students after high school. I want our students to live for Jesus for the rest of their lives, right? I want our students not just to live for Jesus the rest of their lives, but I want them to live on mission for Jesus for the rest of their lives. We're raising up an army of young people, right? Where students are saying yes to the call of God. They're going and praying for people. They're sharing the gospel. They're being filled with the Holy Spirit. They're being able to share prophetic words and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. They're operating in the spiritual gifts. Why? Because there is no junior Holy Spirit, right? And we believe that He's empowering a generation. We are believing for this. Y'all remember the Jesus movement, the Jesus people movement, right? Man, we are believing for another movement like that to arise in this generation. We're believing for a Jesus student movement, a national Jesus student movement, to be just for God to raise up students that say, you know what, I don't care what people say, I don't care what people think, but man, I want to be used by God in my high schools, in my middle school, at my lunch table, right, in my football locker room, in my theater department, or my band hall, wherever it is, God, use me. If I can share just a couple of stories with you, even from that event that I told you about, there's a text that we got that, you know, after the event, a youth pastor texted me. He said, man, after the event, it did something in some of my students. But here's just some stories. One of his students has been going once a week into Walmart to do a treasure hunt. Have you ever heard of what this is? It's where they hear from God and they go and they look for people that God shows them. And they are praying. He's praying for people on his own. Right? He's sharing the gospel with people on his own, right? This is what the church is supposed to do, amen? There is another story that came in from a youth pastor where after the event that we just had, a student led another student to Jesus in his Jesus Club in the school. Not at church, not anywhere else, but in the public high school, right? Let me tell you about Joseph. Joseph was over there in Fort Worth, Texas, all right? And he led a Jesus Club. Guess what? When he started the Jesus Club, it had three people in it. And he kept praying. He kept asking. He kept believing. And, man, it kept growing. Grew to 10, then 20, then 30, then 50. And then at the very end of his school year, he said, hey, I want, through my Jesus Club, I want to host a Jesus rally at my high school. How crazy is this, right? So he rented out the auditorium and he started to invite people to this Jesus rally. And he was not shy about it. He literally called it the Jesus rally. And he was inviting people there. I went to see what was happening, what was going on. Our team used our equipment that we were able to buy because of your support. Come on, somebody, right? To help support them. And when we were there, guess what? 160 people showed up. Okay, but 27 people said yes to Jesus. 27 high schoolers in a school said yes to Jesus. And now, all right, he's gone to another school because he transferred schools. That Jesus Club is still going, and he's starting another one in the next school. Come on, man. He's like an apostle. Let's go. Let me tell you about one of the students. His name was Josiah. Now, I'm going to save that one to the end because that one's really cool. Let me tell you about a group of students in Tennessee, okay? They wanted to do a Jesus Club, but they didn't have a high school or middle school because they were homeschooled. So guess what? They said, well, we're going to do a Jesus Club in our house because that's where our school is. So what they started doing is they started inviting their neighbors and inviting their friends and the people that they knew just from extracurricular activities. They started inviting. And guess what? They have a group of 30 students at a homeschool Jesus Club, right? Woo, that's awesome. There's another student. Or students, I should say, that started a Jesus Club, and every single week they meet in a classroom, but they're starting to outgrow the classroom because they're seeing 80 students a week come to this Jesus Club. Man, can I tell you that God is using these students? I want you to know it's not led by the youth pastor. It's not led by me. We're helping them get started, but we're not leading it for them. It's students doing it. I could go all day on and on and on about it, but let me finish with this story. There's a student, his name's Josiah, and he started a Jesus Club. And when it first started, he had, you know, one student come, so he just stayed faithful. He said, no, God told me to do this. God called me to this. Well, it grew to 5, then 10, and it never got really much bigger than maybe 10 or 15 every single week, but he stayed faithful. But can I tell you that even though it never got bigger than 10 or 15 every week, he has led 10 students to the Lord in his high school. How amazing is that? But here's the best part of the story, that one of those students that he led to the Lord was a Buddhist. And now that he's been discipling that former Buddhist, and the Buddhist is reading the Bible in his home secretly in his bedroom because Jesus has gripped his heart. Can I tell you that God is not done with the generation? God is not done with the schools. God is not done with middle schoolers or high schoolers, but he is sending an army there, and they're not an army of me's. They're an army of students that are 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. And my role is I get the opportunity and the privilege to empower them, to equip them, to train them, and to send them. And you get a part in that because of your giving, because of your prayers. So I just, again, want to say thank you. And I wanted to give you an update on what's happening because it's not, man, it's not slow. God is moving every single day. We are getting text messages, phone calls, emails, Instagram messages every single day saying, hey, I have students that want to do Jesus Club. Hey, can you help us? Because there are students. And we're about to start our youth pastor training course where we are going to train youth pastors how to have a youth ministry that sends out students and doesn't just bring them in. Amen? But that we're training them to be the church. So can we just pray over this movement that God is doing before we go any further? Is that okay? And would you pray with me? Yes, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Heritage Church and how they have just sown so much into what we are seeing and what we are doing. And I don't take it lightly, and they are going to get to reap from everything they have sown. But Lord, I pray over this movement. I pray that you would continue to raise up students
to be Jesus Club leaders, to share the gospel, to pray for the sick, to be your hands and feet. And I pray that you would raise up youth pastors who are more concerned about sending students out than just bringing students in. I pray that you would touch our team at Youth Alive that we do, myself, our team, my wife, and the new team members that we're adding, that, Lord, you would bring the finances. You would do whatever needs to happen. But, Lord, I pray that we would continue to be able to send them, continue to be able to train them, continue to be able to equip them, continue to raise up an army that says we want to be used by God. So, Lord, I ask that, Lord, you would use us as your vessels. Let us lead by example. Put it in our hearts to not just come to church, but to be the church, Lord. We ask you for your help in this, God. We thank you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I got to just say, I'm going to try to be quick tonight. Is that all right? But I got a message for you. Titled, There Is a You in Church. You like what I did there? It's like a wordplay a little bit. Because there's the letter U, right? And then there's you in church. You like that? Some of you will get it later. Some of you will be like, oh, I got it. But there is a you in church. And I just want to talk about how God has called us to operate as people that are a part of his church. Is that okay? Maybe some mindset shifts, maybe some heart posture changes, maybe just some ideology changes. And don't worry, I'm not going to preach anything weird, but I'm just going to give us something to think about when it comes to us as his church. Is that cool? Here's the very first one. As the church, I am not called to just come to church. I am called to take territory. Amen? If you see in the Word of God, in creation, God gives dominion to Adam, right? To steward the earth. But then, at the Great Commission, Jesus does it again to his disciples, right? He says, go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends, yeah, outermost parts of the earth. What is he saying? Go take territory for the kingdom. Not for your empire, but for his kingdom, right? And I have a quick story, but back in 2017, my wife and I, we went to San Diego. And we went to swim with leopard sharks. Yeah, dumb idea from the beginning, right? This is my wife. She wanted to do it. I didn't want to do it. But, you know, sometimes when your wife wants to do something, you do it, even though you know this is not a good idea. So we're going and we're walking down and we're talking to our guide. And he's like, hey, man, this is going to be amazing. The leopard sharks, they're chill. And you're just going to swim with them and get to see them. I'm like, all right, awesome. Anything we need to worry about? He's like, well, there are some stingrays over to the side, but we don't mess with them. They don't mess with us. We're good. And I'm like, all right, that's a little weird. And I said, has anybody ever been stung by a stingray? He's like, no, that's never happened before. And I'm like, this is a bad idea, but okay. So I get into the water. I'm not the strongest swimmer. And if you see, I have like a mustache and a beard. And when you do that, the goggles don't always work properly. You know what I'm talking about? Like they'll fog up, water will get in them. So this entire time I'm swimming and water's getting in my goggles. I can't figure it out. So they leave me because I'm too slow. And I'm like, whatever. I didn't even want to be here anyway, all right? So I just am swimming. I'm like, just keep swimming, right? I'm doing that. And I don't realize that as I'm swimming, the current is taking me further and further away. I'm like, oh no. So I get down, I'm fixing my goggles again, and I look over, and my wife is way over there. So I'm like, okay, I really need to get back, okay? So I start swimming again. Man, goggles fog up again, and I fix it. And when I did it this time, I put my foot down, and boom, something hits my ankle. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And I was trying to tell myself it was just a stick. It was just a stick. But I knew it wasn't a stick because, well, it was very, 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 very painful. So I start back paddling, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. I'm worrying. And I get out of the water and I'm limping and my foot's bleeding and I'm shaking. And I look over at my wife and she's like, come see the leopard sharks. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about no leopard sharks. And I had just gotten stung by a stingray, right? It was painful. It was, long story short, I ended up being okay, but my ankle swelled up like super, super big. And it was, I still have a scar from it, actually. But anyway, that's not the moral of this story. The moral of this story is this. Whenever I got tagged by the stingray, I froze. I kind of panicked a little bit, and I started back paddling, right? Because I didn't want to get hit again, right? And I think that many times, especially in the culture that we're in today, the church, instead of moving forward and taking territory, the church has kind of frozen and gotten scared and kind of back paddled a little bit. When our call was always to move forward and take territory, right? And I just want to say that I believe that's what we are called to do. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 11, 12. It says, from the time that John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. And then Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18 through 19, it says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, as his church, you have been given authority. You know that, right? And you haven't just been given authority while you're at church, you've been given authority while you're out there. And the word of God says that signs and wonders should actually follow those who believe, right? Oh, I've heard too many people believe, oh man, and they say this, the world is too lost, the schools are too far gone, oh, people are just too bad. No, the church, and they're like, oh, we'll just wait till the rapture comes, right? It's like, no, 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 the kingdom of God is still forcefully advancing if we choose to advance and take territory like we're called to. We are not supposed to just take a seat. You are called to take territory. And I just want you to know, what is he saying? He's saying in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. He's saying, go advance my kingdom. I just want you to know, every time you support a missionary, I'm not just giving away money, I'm advancing the kingdom, right? I'm taking territory. When I go on prayer walks in my neighborhood, which I do, it's not just praying. I'm taking territory, right? When I'm at the mall or a restaurant and I'm not just eating and I'm not just shopping, I'm taking every bit of territory for God that I possibly can by hopefully sharing Jesus or praying for somebody or whatever it is. I am just all about being church that doesn't just come to a good church service, but says we are going to advance his kingdom. We are going to take territory for his kingdom. Here's the second one. As the church, I don't just come to church, I build the church. I build the church. 1 Peter 2:5. Peter is a disciple of Jesus. He tells us this, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There is one cornerstone, and his name is? There you go. Yeah, you're right. His name is Jesus. But then there is all of us, smaller, less important stones. And what we're doing is we are building a house and family. We are building a structure. And you want to know what our job is? It isn't to hold the house up. Our job is to get other stones together to build this house. I want you to know, church is not built for us. We are the church and we are built for the world. You like that? You believe that? Well, listen. Come on, guys. Let's be honest. I mean, y'all been in church longer than me. I know church can be annoying. Oh, y'all got quiet. Like, no, not for me. It's like, okay, that's fine. Right? I know church isn't perfect. I know that it can get frustrating sometimes. But I want to say this. It's easy to tear down. It's easy to complain. It's easy to just come. It's easy to stay isolated, and it's easy to get offended. But knowing this, that I am the church, allows me to have perspective. It's not always perfect. It's not always pretty. But guess what? I'm a part of this. And because I'm a part of it, I might as well build it instead of tear it down. Can I get an amen? Like I might as well grow it. I might as well be a part of it. I might as well get involved. I might as well serve and love and commit and build the church. Why? Not because it's perfect, but it's because I belong to the body of Christ. Amen? Man, I'll build by giving. I'll build through my time. I'll build by serving. I'll build by inviting people to the house of God, right? I'll build by witnessing. I'll build by praying. I'll build by taking whatever happens to me in here and taking it out there, right? I'm a part of this thing. I will build it. Are we building his church or are we just attending one? People, listen to this. People that just attend church don't change the world. People that build the church change the world. And his church is the hope of the world. As the church, here's the third one, if you are taking notes. As the church, I should have heaven's dream, not the American dream. The American dream can easily kill the American church if we allow it to. There's an excerpt from a Reader's Digest that I found. It was written a while ago, but it was in a video clip that I was watching of a man named John Piper. And this is what the Reader's Digest said. I'll read to you what a tragedy looks like, okay? This is what a tragedy looks like. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler playing softball and collecting shells. Now listen, I want you to hear me with spiritual ears. I want you to hear my heart. I am all for retirement. Come on, can I get an amen, right? I look forward to it one day. So here my heart. I'm not saying retirement is wrong or bad. I'm not saying softball is bad. I'm not saying having a boat is evil. No. I like collecting shells with my wife, right? Like all that. But this is what I'm trying to communicate. As the church, my dream and end goal should shift to not the American dream, but heaven's dream. Does that make sense? Man, I can do all those things. That's great. It's just not my dream. It's just not my end goal. Like I said, I hope I get to retire. I like going and looking for shells. I like playing volleyball, basketball, pickleball, right? I like all that stuff. But it's not my end goal. My end goal is heaven's dream, right? What is heaven's dream? Let me read it to you. Luke chapter 7, verse 22, and he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preach to them. Heaven's dream is healing. Heaven's dream is people finding freedom. Heaven's dream is a fuller heaven. Am I right? Like, that's what heaven's dream is. As the church, I don't, my end goal is not a fuller bank account. I want a fuller heaven. But as the church, my dream isn't, I don't want more people to like me. I want more heaven on earth. You know what I'm saying? As a believer, I don't just want more stuff. I want more people being healed and being transformed. You know what the dream is? And I'm praying for it, that we would see the next great awakening. That we would see a new revival sweep through America. That we would see people healed when we pray. That we would see people changed by the gospel again. That we would see cities transformed and schools flipped upside down by the power of God. That we would see prodigals come back home to the family and the house of God. That we would give so that people can know Him. That we would see unreached people hear the gospel for the very first time, right? That we would see the Word of God translated into languages that don't have it. Doesn't that sound way better than the American dream? I know for me it does. Hey, if you can do both, go for it. But I feel this for myself. It's easy to give up the American dream when you have the Father's heart. Ooh, do we have the Father's heart still? Because as the church, we should. Because we are His children. We are His body. We are His church. And then here's the final one. As the church, we are not looking for an answer. We are the answer. Man, turn to your neighbor and say, you're the answer. Come on. We are not looking for an answer. We are the answer. You know what they always say in sales? If you have ever worked in sales, this is what they say. They say that if you don't even believe in the product, nobody else will. So if you don't believe in it, you ain't gonna be able to sell it. And sometimes even in my own life, I get convicted by the Holy Spirit and He says stuff like this to me. Do you even believe in your product? Do you still believe in the power of the gospel? Do you still believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you still believe that I'm actually able to do what we always preach that He can do? Do we believe in the product? Because sometimes by how we live and act and how we talk, it's like we don't. And I know this. I know the world can look grim. I'm in schools all the time. God is moving powerfully, but I also understand that it looks bad out there. Right? And I know that it can look bad. I know I can ask those questions. Man, is it even possible? And God has reminded me this. That the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, that's what His word says. That the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which means what He has done before, He is able and He wants to do again. Can dry bones live again? Can seas split again? Can people survive burning furnaces again? Can multiplication of food happen again? Can the church be bold again? We believe that they can, although it might look a little different. Can I tell you, God is still saving souls. He is still healing people. He is still providing. He is still making ways where there is no way, right? He is still giving favor. He can still bring marriages back together. He can still call prodigals home. He is still healing and touching people's lives. And He is using His church and He is using His people to do it. Church, we have the greatest answer in the world. And we are on the greatest mission anybody could ever ask for. May I please remind you for a moment that we are the hope of the world. We are not here to sit in a building. We're here to be the hope of the world. We are not here to have the American dream. We are here to be the hope of the world. We are not here to play defense. We are here to be the hope of the world. We are not here to just work a 9-to-5. We are here to be the hope of the world. I still believe that I'm called to that. I still believe you're called to that. I still believe this church is called to that. You are called and chosen to be the hope of the world. He is still building his church. He's still calling and using you. You do not have an expiration date in any way, shape, or form, especially in the kingdom of God. We have the answer and solution. We must be confident in that. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And because we are the church, it changes how I see and how I interact with the world. Oh, man. Let us be a church that doesn't have the American dream but has heaven's dream, that isn't looking for an answer but is the answer, that doesn't just come to church but chooses to build the church, and finally doesn't just come to sit in a seat but is ready and willing to take territory. If you would just bow your heads, I just want to pray. But I do want to give an opportunity for response. I don't know if y'all usually do have response, but I feel the presence of God here. I feel a conviction here. I feel hunger that is here in this place. And I believe that He is calling some of you out of your slumber tonight. I believe He's calling some of you out of your comfortability tonight. I even believe some people are being called out of complacency tonight. And it's not in a mad way. It's not in an angry way. It's in a way saying, no, I want to use you still. No, I'm calling you still. There's still more in you. So if that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to ask that you would lift up your hand so I could pray with you. Yeah, on the count of three, we already got hands going. One, two, three. If that's anybody, I want you to lift up your hand. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Those hands. I want to give a couple more moments. I believe there's some more people. Lift up those hands. Yes. Yes, yes. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this church. But I also thank you for your Big C church. I thank you that we get to be a part of it. I thank you that you are speaking to hearts right now. And I pray that you would wake us up from our slumber. That we would remember we are not called to just come to a building. We're called to take territory. We're not called to come to church. We're called to be the church, man. I pray that we would just let go of the American dream and we would receive heaven's dream. I pray we would stop looking at other places for the answer to society or for the answer to culture, but we would be reminded, no, we are the church. We are the answer for culture. We are the answer for society. We are the answer for the lost, hurting, and broken people and broken world that we are around. So I even pray now that we would no longer get mad at the broken world, but we would look at how we can heal the broken world. We would no longer get apathetic, but God, I pray we would be filled with passion and zeal once again. I pray that we would no longer go through the motions, but we would have a conviction and a hunger in our hearts, God, to see something shift. We might not be able to change the whole world, but we can impact one life. We can impact two lives. God, I pray that we would be reminded that the church is not built for us, but we are the church and we are built for the world, God. Oh, this is the church that you need in this hour. And I pray that we would not fall asleep like the disciples did at Gethsemane, but we would wake up, we would arise, because the time has come that you are calling your church to awake again. You're calling your church to arise again. So Lord, let us arise. Oh God, let us awaken. Oh God, let us be stirred. Let us be connected.